What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike out golfing as we are at Bluestone Country Club for the Eagles Radio Network golf outing.
The summer of Ike.
Yeah, it is the summer of Ike. He's out there golfing. You know, and I want to say here, it is beautiful here. And if you ever get the chance, do not come over here today. This is not, if you're not already here,
right.
It's not for you. That's not to be a jerk.
It is, Country Club Spike.
We're barely even allowed in here. We're not even allowed to golf in here.
Yeah.
So, you know, unless you're a member or whatever.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I will say, it was jarring this morning walking outside and it being 66.
I like it.
It's, well, of course.
I'll take it.
What, are you crazy?
I'll take it.
But I also, big adjustment from yesterday,
yep,
where it was 90 and humid.
It's hoodie weather, brother.
Straight into this.
Hoodie weather. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For a one-of-a-kind experience that makes diamond buying less stressful, visit the home team at Mark's. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Have you thrown in the towel on this season after the Wheeler news, or do you still believe? 57% say they still believe. You know, one person I always believe in, and that is Elliot Shore Parks, who joins us right now with a training camp report. Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing? I thought there was more coming there.
No. Yeah. Elliot.
One of those Spike intros.
Yeah. Well, look, man, you got to read the tone.
Yeah. Well, you have to wonder if Jack had beat Joe in golf, if it could have been him out there golfing today.
I know.
I'm happy to be able to talk to you, too.
It wouldn't have let me. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I lost golf and tennis. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Wait, people where did we? Where was it? Where were we? Oh, it was earlier today when we were. So we talked, and just to clarify, Nick Sirianni will be on the show tomorrow at 4. We did talk to him today. But while we were there, Jack was asked about losing the competition by Eagles employees.
Yep.
Good to know they're locked in on training camp.
Look,
I said, don't you have a Super Bowl to win?
Yeah, it was not, I want to be clear, was not anybody in football.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
You know, no coaches, no players. All right, Elliot. So, just, I guess, big question. Anything big from camp today? Who looked good? Who was playing cornerback? How did Jalen look? What were the big takeaways from practice today?
Yeah, so I think the biggest takeaway for today is it feels like we're finally starting to get some clarity on what's going to happen in that secondary. I mean, we've talked after every practice all year, and it is always, you know, maybe it'll be him, maybe it'll be him. Today, it felt like we got a preview of what the secondary is going to look like. So for the first time all camp, Kelee Ringo didn't get any first-team reps. So it was Adoree Jackson to start the day. Ja'Corian Bennett got in there and did some first-team reps. Mac McWilliams, the rookie, got some first-team reps. And even Cooper DeJean, who has not taken any outside cornerback reps all camp, got out there and did it. So, you know, I wouldn't say the competition is over, but it certainly feels like Kelee, who took third and second-team reps today, might not be in it anymore. So that, I would say, is probably the big news at corner. And then at safety, it was Andrew Makuba for what I feel was the majority of the first-team reps. Cooper was still out there at times in base, but when they were in nickel, it was Andrew Makuba out there at safety. And it really feels like Sidney Brown might have blown his chance at winning this job. He had like 10 or 11 practices where Makuba was either injured or just coming back from injury, and now Makuba's getting more first-team reps than ever. So I would say the big story of the day was some potential clarity in the secondary.
So we'll get to the cornerback thing second. First, Drew Makuba, like, and you don't want to take away too much from a preseason game, but I think one of the things that they're missing without C.J. Gardner-Johnson is that, like, he's sort of a ball hawk. He was in the right place at the right time. And it's not like either of the turnovers that Makuba was involved in was some sort of outstanding play. The interception just sort of, you know, it was good coverage, but, like, it sort of ended up in his lap, and the fumble as well. But there is something, too. It just seems like there are guys in football who have a sense for where the ball is going to be. And, you know, like, I got the sense they were pretty high on him when they drafted him. But you have a performance like that when nobody else is going and taking the job. I think he put himself in position to win the job on Saturday.
Yeah, I think, and it's a corner too, but especially at safety, they've just been waiting for somebody to step up and do something where, you know, that stands out or have a great game or two great practices in a row. And you're right that, you know, picking up a fumble, you know, he didn't force the fumble. He didn't run from halfway across the field to get it, but he realized it was out before anybody else and he got it. And then on the interception, I agree, not like a great play by the Cleveland offense, but I do think it's noteworthy that for someone where his size was considered a bit of an issue. I mean, that was a crowded space right there. He got through them. Now, maybe his, you know, tiny stature is like helpful there. But regardless, he fought through, got the ball, and made the play. So if you think about the guy he'd be replacing in Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, like, he wasn't great snap to snap at safety. What he was great at was making plays when they were there. So maybe what they'll do is they'll view McCube as, you know what, we'll take some rookie pains early on. We will deal with maybe snap-to-snap, him not being a great NFL safety yet, if he's making, you know, one big play every 3 weeks where he's getting the ball back for us.
Now, CB2 seems a little more – you said it seems like there's some resolution. It seems like the resolution is that Kelee Ringo isn't going to be the guy.
Exactly.
You know, but if they have Cooper there, if they have Adoree Jackson there, and they have Ja'Quarion Bennett, I thought Ja'Quarion Bennett on Saturday had some good reps in there. You know, it was one thing mm-hmm. that Ross Tucker pointed out on the TV broadcast is how far Adoree Jackson was playing off his guy, how far I think Kelee was playing off his guy, and Bennett just went in there, and it seemed like he was just on whoever he was covering. So it felt like I don't know. It felt like a guy who was a little more confident in his athleticism or his ability to stay with guys. So, but it just doesn't. It does not seem like that is settled. It's just settled that it's not Kelee Ringo.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Now, I do think, you know, if they would, you know, answer the question honestly, they might say, you know what, we hope Ja'Quarion Bennett has a great next 2 days of practice, a great final preseason game, and we're able to put him out there week one. And if not, we have Adoree who's, you know, been here all off season, who's had a decent training camp and like a veteran guy, we feel okay with that. But the other thing I would say is, you know, we've again talked about this a lot, but like, I think it's time maybe they would seriously consider moving something of value for a corner. Like if Keeley's not going to win this job, Adoree's on a 1 year deal. I don't know if Ja'Quarion Bennett or Mac McWilliams project as long-term starters there. Maybe they do sit there and go, you know what? Like if there's a corner that we give up a third for, or even a second, and this guy can be the starter opposite Quinion for the next 4 years, and his contract is manageable. Maybe he has 2 years left on his rookie deal. Like, I wonder if now, after 3 weeks of watching what they have, if they'd be more willing to give up something of value, like serious value, to get another young cornerback.
So with all this, you know, questions, it seems like, on the defense, that would suggest that the offense is taking big advantage of this, right, Elliot?
Yeah, so I thought Jalen had an A-minus day today. I
thought It's really a B-plus.
Yeah, no, which is an A-minus. Really probably closer to an A than an A-minus. But I did think there was one throw he had. His worst throw of the day, I guess we'll start there since you brought it up, Jack. But is, you know, there was a deep shot he had to Devontae. It looked, when it was floating in the air, like maybe Makuba was going to pick it off, but it ended up being thrown over the heads of both of them. So he had that one bad throw. But outside of that, I thought he was really good today in situational football. They did a lot of, like, two-minute drill, third down, fourth down, and he had three plays that really stood out in those situations. First, on fourth down, he had a touchdown pass to Kylan Granson in the front of the end zone. There was pressure. He stepped up in the pocket, kept his eyes down the field, which, you know, is always a good thing, but especially in practice where it can be so easy just to take off. Thought it was good that he did that and found Granson for the touchdown. And then early on in practice, when it was pouring, like it was cold, like it was gross out there, he had two third down throws, one to Goddard and one to Dotson, that I thought were pretty clutch given the situation. So he ended 15-23, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and I thought an A-minus day from the quarterback.
Well, third downs is what he's generally pretty good at, so I guess that's
pretty important down.
Pretty important down.
It's pretty clear that Jack is more cemented on the anti-Jalen thing than I am, I think.
100%.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, it makes me – you know how, like – you know how you can feel like you agree with somebody on something, but they're so far the other side, you almost feel like you're on the opposite side?
Uh-huh.
Jack goes so far, I want to stop him sometimes.
Yep. I should, again, I probably should stop, but I cannot. I cannot. Yeah. So, real quick, Elliot, I know it's not the most important thing, but did you notice maybe a little extra pep in Nick's step after the big conversation you had before practice?
Nick was in a good mood today. He was.
Yeah, well, that's what happens in the next round.
Yep.
Yeah. Ike rubs that off on people for sure. Yeah, he makes them good moods. But I thought Nick seemed in a good mood for sure.
So a couple more things, Elliot. We haven't talked about the trade for John Metchie the third, who played with Devontae Smith in college. I think everybody sort of raised their eyebrow at the fact that they're making a trade for a wide receiver, which it almost seemed like when you're trying to do the roster projection that they might have one too many already that you think might have a chance at the roster anyway. Any insight from you on why you think they traded for Metchie?
Yeah, I think they view this as a guy they liked coming out of the draft. He was a second-round pick, 44th overall, and they're trading him for, you know, a fourth-string tight end that they signed in the offseason in case they didn't keep Goddard. So I think just simplistically they view this as, you know, forget the rest of the roster. If you consistently trade for high draft picks that maybe hasn't worked out of their places, you'll hit on one and you get good value. So I think that's part of it. But also you bring up the 53-man roster. One thing that I thought was abundantly clear on Saturday is that the bottom of their roster is not strong. Like, I know the guys out there on Saturday, at least on offense, won't be the ones, you know, playing. But ultimately, the guys that look like they'll be spots 47 through 53 don't look that strong. So could they keep seven receivers? Like, I know it sounds crazy, but who else really in spots 50 through 53 are out there that you go, you can't cut them? So traditionally, they keep somewhere between 10 and 12 total receiver tight ends and running backs. And I wonder if this year, maybe they keep two running backs. They put A.J. Dillon on practice squad. They keep three tight ends. And, you know, maybe those other seven spots all go to receivers.
A.J. Dillon on practice squad?
Yeah, so this would be more of like a roster machination thing. He's been in the league long enough where if they cut him, he doesn't go through waivers. So they could potentially cut him, put him on practice squad for a few weeks.
Just hide him there.
Well, he would play. You would bring him up, and it would basically just be a way to get someone through the 53.
Got it. You're saying that you're talking about the bottom of the roster. Watching DTR and Kyle McCord on Saturday.
Your boy Kyle McCord, by the way.
First of all, he's a rookie. But everyone who thought I was crazy for not wanting to trade Tanner McKee, just go watch that game, and you tell me
you
which.
You could find someone else.
But you would have to trade a pick for him.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
And you're getting a pick for Tanner. Like, last year they had two completely valid guys that could go in and play football in Kenny Pickett and Tanner McKee. This year they only have two. Like, they have Jalen and they have Tanner McKee. Those other two guys cannot win you NFL football games this year.
Well, so two things off of that. One, in credit to Tim McManus of ESPN, your boy, your favorite.
Okay. Inside of the year candidate.
Exactly. I'll help him there. Like, he had a good note today that he noticed Tanner, like, maybe his hand was hurt, and he stopped doing team reps, you know, towards the end of practice. So that's something to monitor going into tomorrow's practice. And also, maybe a little noteworthy that he didn't play on Saturday. You know, like, if he has something that's dealing with his hand. But the other thing I would say about the quarterbacks, I agree, both Kyle McCord and DTR are not ready to go into an NFL game and help the Eagles win. But I think people are being a little harsh on them for Saturday. What happened on offense on Saturday, and really by the whole team, I thought was an embarrassing performance. Like, they looked unprepared. Nobody played well. And I know people will go, well, it's just a preseason game. You know, who cares? I still think how you perform in preseason games, even if it's not your starters, can be a good indication of just how you're operating. Like how is the coaching getting through? How are the players learning the playbook? How are they playing clean football? And to only have 88 yards of offense, I thought was almost an alarming performance. So I'm not just writing that game off like everyone else is. When they don't play well for 2 days against Cleveland, and then they have an extremely poor performance on offense and really overall, I thought it was a rough week for the Eagles, and they had a good practice today, but I'm not just writing that Saturday game off as no big deal. I think that was a concerning performance.
Are you growing? Like, what's your concern level? Is probably unfair for preseason and training camp, but like, where are you at with Petullo after all the training camps you've been to, the joint practices? Again, it wasn't the most crisp performance on Saturday. I mean, is there some Brian Johnson concern here with Kevin Petullo?
So I don't think my opinion on Petullo has changed based off this, just because for me, the Petullo job is going to be to counter this year, right? So in training camp, I don't know if you're really seeing that. And now, to be fair, when they were really good in week one of the preseason, you know, I thought it was a good sign for Petullo. So I definitely think, like everybody else, he deserves blame for how poor they played on Saturday. I just don't think we have an answer yet on if Petullo can pass the biggest test. Like, I believe Petullo can run the offense from last year, can call the plays. Like, I don't think that's the concern. The concern is if this thing starts to go south on offense, is someone in that building going to be able to come up with a plan to get it going? And I think that's where we'll get our Petullo answer.
Two more quick ones, Elliot. Number one, it seems like the Trey Hendrickson thing is heating up again. I feel like we have the same conversation every time, and I always end it as if they told us there's no money, then where is the money to pay Trey Hendrickson? But right. do you think, we were talking last week, ESPN ranked the Eagles edge unit 31st in the NFL. Now we could hem and haw and say maybe it's not 31, but like that does say something. Do you think they would get involved with Trey Hendrickson?
So Hendrickson's always been one that I've thought there was a better chance than others of them acquiring. Like, if you are going to acquire Myles Garrett, you are going to have to pay him. If you acquire Micah Parsons, you're going to have to pay him. I do think there's a world where you trade, let's say, a second and somebody else for Hendrickson, and maybe you only tweak his deal, or maybe it's a 2-year deal, or, you know, he wants to perform for a year on a team that's going to be on a ton of big games and maybe up his value. So I would put the chances of them acquiring Trey Hendrickson as small, but I think they are higher than other people, than other edges out there, just because I'm not sure it comes with that huge payday on the other end.
Last one for me. Do you think A.J. Brown is going to play week one? And, like, I mean, he still is not practicing. Should we be concerned about A.J. Brown? Is there going to be a point where we're like, oh, my God, is A.J. Brown going to be ready for game one?
So I don't think there is concern that AJ will play week one. I think he will be out there. He did not practice today, but he was out on the field. He was, you know, jogging around. He seemed in good spirits. He didn't strike me as a player who is concerned about, you know, where his hamstring is at. My concern with AJ is he going to be 100%, or is this going to be something where he'll ramp it up that final week for the Cowboys game, and then he'll just play with whatever percent he is at that point? Because he did practice last week, he did some individual work, and now he's not. And like, Nick won't say if that's a setback or not, but I don't know how else you would view that. Like, he was hurt, he started to do some stuff, and then he stopped. So my concern is mostly with the hamstring. Like, it's so hard in season to fully recover as an athlete. Like, you're practicing during the week, you're playing every week, and that's especially true with leg injuries. So my worry would be he's not going to be 100% for week one, and this is something that it's just hampering him, for the beginning part of the year, if not all year.
Speaking of AJ, he was number 29 on the NFL 100. We still have not seen Jalen. Do you think it's possible, Elliot, that Jalen Hurts is not even on the NFL top 100 list?
So I think it's possible, but the
interesting. Why would you think that?
Well, because he hasn't been on it yet. That's why I'm guessing it's possible. But I mean, hey. Bryson is 33rd, so it seems like if he is on it, he's going to finish higher than Bryce did. But, I think he will probably be on it, just because I don't know how you go from 2 to 15 to off. Like, they were still winning a ton of games. He's still top of people's mind. I do think he's relatively popular around the league. So my guess is he will still be on it. But, look, when this thing was voted on, he was not playing well. So it completely shocked me.
Voted on by players toward the end of the regular season.
Yeah.
So.
Did you pop a bottle of champagne when you saw Zach Wheeler go on the 15-day IL? Because you're right about his ranking?
When I heard you had one more question with me, I figured it was going to be Phillies related. But I guess you went with it. I don't know how much this changes things. Like, they were only ever going to go deep if their bats got hot. Like,
yeah.
So on one hand, yes, of course, losing him is a big deal. on the other hand, I don't know how much it really changes stuff.
Burn the boats. Burn the boats.
Yeah, I think even without him, their starting pitching is not as good, but it's still good enough. If they only score two runs a game, they're losing with Zach Wheeler too. You know,
now,
they showed that last year.
What I will say, though, is if the Eagles lost Quinion, that would be a massive loss. That would have a big impact on the defense.
So. All right, there he is, Elliot Shore Parks.
Super Bowl champion Quinion Mitchell.
Sorry, I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. I wasn't going to let him bait me in. You can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast. I love the Go Birds pod. I like everyone here at WIP to know that I'm listening to their podcast, so they have it in the back of their mind.
It's great.
So I listen to Go Birds daily. You know, you can get it where it comes out every single day. Does it after practice. During the regular season, it's great as well. So
you're locked on the High Hopes podcast, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, I every once in a while, you're like, when I'll mention to you, I was like, hey, sometime on High Hopes, you're like, why were you listening?
I know. Yeah. I know. Because it adds a little level of anxiety.
Yep.
Not used to.
215-592-9494. Chris in Delaware. Chris, you're on WIP.
How you guys doing?
What's up, Chris?
So I think the key thing for the Phillies, and this will help Rob Thompson, Bryce, and all of the guys that you want to pull the team together, they need to go get Doug Peterson, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, and Nick Foles, and bring them in and let them give that speech that they had to pull themselves together during 2017. Give that team the true rallying cry that brought us the most magical Super Bowl ever.
Yeah. At least get Jank over there. I mean, yeah, Jank's retired, going in the Wall of Fame. He was the we all we got, we all we need guy.
Yeah, Malcolm Jenkins can command a room. Fletcher Cox is a great player. I don't know if he's a big talker like that. But
I don't know about Doug.
Yeah, I don't know about Doug either, be quite honest.
I don't know if Doug's a rally the troops guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Doug.
But Doug, for the simple fact of him sitting down with Rob Thompson and giving him that ability to, where Doug Peterson had the go-for-it attitude during that playoff run and in the
big
Super
balls,
Bowl.
Doug. Yep.
Get him to just put that faith in Rob Thompson to say, hey, make the decision, own it, and just go for it.
Yeah. Well, Chris, it certainly couldn't hurt. Hey, next question today is tell us something that people lie about. What do you got?
Their body count. Men always hype it up and women always undersell it.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm at one.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you must have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of one.
Well, you know what? It's like, what does higher number get you?
Ooh, boy.
Truthfully.
That was the longest pause I think I've ever heard you say.
Well, no. What I was going to do was, I'm trying to find the right words to say that, like.
Because we had to dump you earlier.
The older you get, the more I understand and respect that sort of thing. Like, you are, you know, it used to be when you were younger, when I was younger, and people would talk about getting married. Older guys would be like, oh, old ball and chain. Yeah, your life is over or whatever.
Oh, dude, it's the advice you get. So marriage advice and now kid advice. Dude, I was talking to an older guy a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was the most insulting. He said,
"You're not talking about me, are you?
Not you.
Okay."
He's like, "You know the best part about having kids is
what?
Making them." I was like, "That is so. Having kids is great, you know. Like, that's not the best part about having kids. But that's the old school mindset,
right? And like, I like to do when people tell me they're getting married. I hope I did this when you said it. I'm always like, man, being married is actually way better than not being married.
Yeah.
It, as long as you're in a good marriage, I enjoy being married. So I didn't expect you to jump out with the one body count.
Man, we're all about authenticity.
Yeah,
on this station.
Absolutely. People do lie about it, though.
100%.
Yeah, he was right. That was a good lie. So
that actually could be the one on the Mount Rushmore of things people lie about.
Yes. I would say, now did somebody mention weight?
Yes.
Somebody mentioned height. Height and weight for men.
Yeah.
Women don't really lie about height, but they do lie about weight, I assume.
215.
I'm guessing.
Spike said that.
Yeah. Body count would be on the Mount Rushmore of lies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Might have to think of the Mount Rushmore lies by the end of the show.
Bring back Mount Rushmore weight?
Yes. Just for one day.
One day only?
Look, Ike's not here. I like Mount Rushmore week, by the way. We're going to know on the thing about the Phillies is I feel like we're going to know really quick where they're at. They have three against the Mariners. Mm-hmm. They have three against the Nationals.
Oh.
And then three against the Mets.
The showdown.
This will be nine games where if they turn down a 2-7, and by the way, lose two out of three of the Mets or something, Mets have won two in a row now. The Mets are not going away because the Phillies have not put them away. So if this goes poorly, this is a situation where the Phillies could be out of the division lead in 2 weeks. And if it goes well, they could be up 9 or 10 in 2 weeks. So I hope they burn the boats, buddy.
Dude, I'm having such a vision
of them using burn the boats.
Dude, it's perfect. It's right there. You have
there'd be great merch.
I know, but they might have needed again. They might have needed something to wake them up. To like say, well, we don't have that guy anymore that we can just always rely on in a playoff game, going out and mostly giving us seven innings of good baseball. So maybe it was something that they need to like relock in and be ready to go for the postseason.
Little Ewing theory? Are you Ewing theorying it here?
Always.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes, buddy.
Whatever it takes. All right. Coming up next, speaking of baseball, Rob Manfred said something kind of shocking yesterday about potential realignment in baseball. Are you ready to play the Yankees 20 times a year? So we will talk about that next. 215-592-9494. Do you think the Phillies are going to throw in the towel or burn the boats and go for it? No turning back. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.